Welcome to Cursed Heroes, a Pathfinder 2e actual play of Seasons of the Ghost Adventure Path. I am Toker, your game master, and for this adventure we have Mahogany.
Hello.
Terrence.
Howdy.
Matt.
Hey.
Kevin.
Hi.
And Noob.
Bingo bongo.
I'll never introduce them again.
All right.
Yeah, it's not about us, the people.
No. Hopefully it'll be about these characters that you've made for this campaign. This is our first time doing an adventure path. It's my first time running one. And we're gonna dive into this horror-themed adventure that comes from Paizo. So if you're if you're listening and you're not a fan of horror themes and grotesque situations and ghosts and goblins, not for you. And I can't suggest you any of our other stuff because it all contains those same themes, I think.
No, you're right.
Yeah. So yeah.
That's great.
Spooky, spooky.
Yeah. I think there's a game of goblin tips that Terrence created that's not that grotesque, but I might be misremembering.
Yeah, it's about Christmas stuff. Yeah.
Anyway, for this adventure, our story will begin in Willowshore, a small, self-sufficient lumber town nestled in the Specterwood along two rivers, the Deuway and the Saba. With the town stretching along the canal that connects the two rivers. It's currently the last night of spring, and that means the town is set to celebrate with the reenactment festival. Games, drink, and the smell of delicious food fill the night air as the festival prepares to hold a sacred tradition to scare off the ghosts, haunts, and bad spirits. It's at this festival we find our main characters for the story. They've been chosen to be a very special part of this ceremony tonight. Or at the end, they'll be taken by ghosts. Let's start with Chef Frog.
You lied.
You said that Terrence was first. Hold on.
Yeah, get used to that.
I don't like that. Thought I could trust you. Where are my notes?
Terrence was the least prepared before we started recording, and then when I looked at the screen, Noob looked the least prepared to respond, so I went with him first.
Good TV.
Alright, hold on. Let me just... There I was in the middle of the dinner. Why do you make me do this? God.
You can do it.
You're going to get better at it as you get older.
Don't be distracted by Kevin's cat.
Reading is fundamental.
Yeah, that's why I'm bad at it. There I was in the middle of the dinner rush during the festival, scooping, serving, calling orders, and all of a sudden, I hear those shitheads laughing behind me. Next thing I know, there's a sack over my head. I'm flipped head over heels and dragged off into the woods. The worst part is, I hear those fucks laugh and say, "Enjoy my night off. I guess I should be more careful when I ask for time off."
I thought you were going to read that stuff at the beginning, but you cut right to the end. So yours might actually be shorter than Kevin's.
That's where we were going to. That's what you wanted.
Yeah, no, that's fun. But you're the goblin in the artwork. You'll see when the show opens up.
Yeah, I'm a goblin.
Let's go to our next contestant, Kevin.
Me?
Yeah.
Well, I am playing Quinn Song. Quinn lost his wife in childbirth 15 years ago and moved to the edge of town and lived alone. His brother, Jinto, the local tailor, is the only reason, him and his family are the only reason he hasn't left the village completely. He helps the town with hunting and fishing, along with any herbalist needs the town might have. Quinn has become a hermit in his years after the loss of, but is always willing to help anyone who comes to his cottage. When normally Quinn wouldn't go to the attend the festival, he likes to be left alone in his house. However, this year, one of the participants' children got sick, and she needed to drop out in order to take care of the child. The mayor turned to the old townsfolk. He knew he would never say no to anyone who asked for any help. The old hermit song.
Thank you, Kevin.
Right.
If you're still with us, now we introduce Harlow, Matt's character.
Oh, it's my turn. All right. So this is a tale of a halfling. Born in poverty, shackled with the heraldry of humble beginnings, dirt floors, rice fields, tattered clothes, scorn on every corner, pathetic in every sense of the word. The halfling paused, clenching his fists to his chest. With head bowed for the optimal dramatic effect, the stillness falls over the pub. "But no longer," he cries. An audible gasp from the patrons ensues, and the barkeep chuckles, shaking his head, and goes back to cleaning his counter. In a softer tone, the halfling continues. "For Harlow Oaten has risen from the squalor and ascends into the heights of mercantile glory." Harlow lifted his head and pint toward the ceiling, and all the splendor and deference due to him from atop the wobbly table in the center of the pub. The locals cheered and laughed, toasting his good fortune. That was last week. A month before that, Harlow, an opportunist to the core with a knack for turning trouble into fortune, and quite often the reversal of it, through some flourishing storytelling and perhaps a few half-truths, brokered a sort of trade pact between the miller's leader, Cho Shung Kyu, and Mount G, a crude nickname that the Leshy leader tolerates barely, and Mother Otis. It's perfect, really, and everyone is happy with the arrangement. Cho is elated that he is the only one able to provide a very exclusive tea to help keep his workforce on schedule. The Leshy receive exclusive cakes from Cho that only he can provide, and an exclusive rough blend of bread made only for them in Mother Otis's kitchen. Mother Otis also provides some exclusive snack cakes to Cho, in turn supplies the inn with an exclusive flower. With Harlow's help, Mount G created an impressively fragrant and energizing tea made exclusively for Mother Otis's inn. Harlow's younger siblings provide the exclusive transport of the exclusive goods at the low cost to the three. Needless to say, Harlow's family is seldom without bread and tea anymore. Harlow can't help but rub his hands together just thinking of the possibilities he's created. The expansion of his trade empire, that's right. Harlow Oaten, the magniloquent jester, the half-sized silver-tongued scoundrel, voted most charming and most likely to be exiled, has finally made something of himself in this backwater town. Perfection in every sense of the word. And then, today, the other foot, as it were, dropped. Harlow had been feeling quite pleased with himself until he was nominated to be an abductee in the forthcoming reenactment festival. I know it was that snake, Ludabama. I just know it, always sticking her fat nose where it doesn't belong. Oh, to be held captive amidst a once-a-year opportunity for trade expansion and acquisitions. Anxiety set in immediately, for his new trade agreements were tenuous at best, paper boats in the rain in truth. His siblings were nothing beyond reliable without proper management, except for his sister, Finrana. She was at least somewhat reliable. But if there's one thing Harlow knows, it's the smell of pending disaster. Pray Abadar, this day passes quickly, and he sets off to find his sister.
Ta-da. Ta-da.
So I think I might have misunderstood the assignment.
No, because remember he told Matt to read his longer version.
Yeah, I thought the longer one was better. I misunderstood your layout for Chef Frog.
No, see, I thought you wanted the little thing to get like right into it to kind of like, oh, what were you doing? I didn't really supposed to read the whole backstory. I got that ready if we want it. My bad.
You want to go back?
Yeah, can we edit that in? Can we edit this in? Can
you, no, I'm cutting the first part out. That'd be easy. To go in and move your first reading to now would be more challenging. So,
yeah, but I believe in you. So anyway, let me get this back up.
We'll introduce you now, and he can cut out all that first shit.
No, yes, leave that in. I'm Chef Frog. I run the One Who Gnaws, also known as the Goblin Food Cart. We're all friends here. We all live in the back. We have a farm with animals and grains that we make ourselves. I'm a fourth generation chef here, worked here all my life, handling most of the animals and hunting for specials. And no, I haven't seen your cat, so please stop asking. Story has it, a few generations back, a group of razor-toothed goblins came through here looking for the chief. Unfortunately, goblins don't speak common very well, and they were saying chef. Well, turns out, Big Chef run the place with short staff, and he taught the goblins how to cook, and we've been here ever since. He died at some point. We found some old books about some gods called Kerberi and Ugathoa. Blessed be thy names. We never got hardcore into it like Big Chef did, but worshiping those fellows gives us an excuse to overeat and close on Sunday for church. But we really just get a break to fight, eat, and sharpen our teeth. Sometimes we make new goblins, but most of the time, new ones wander in and get stuck in the lifestyle. It's a decent living. We make good coin, good food, and eat until we pop. There you go.
Nice.
Very nice, dude.
Yeah, that makes way more sense now.
And then let's move on to Terrence, who finished his backstory about 8 minutes ago.
Hey. That means it's hot off the presses. All right. Riku is a Tengu with a lot of jobs. He has to have a lot of jobs. He has a big family. As a young adult, he and his siblings were sent to live with his aunt and uncle. And now he helps support them, his four younger siblings and their 5 children, as well as their aged grandmother. This doesn't bother him. He likes to help. He helps with the chores and childcare, and he has his jobs. Odd jobs, mostly. Riku is a part-time fisherman, part-time logger, part-time farmer, part-time delivery bird, part-time landscaper, part-time tinker, part-time tutor, part-time locksmith, part-time healer, part-time pickler, part-time alchemist, and nominally full-time distiller, because that mostly takes putting stuff in a jar and waiting. He also has another self-taught skill in his endless spate of dabblings. Riku is a wizard, but he does this mostly for his own pleasure. On the day of the festival, he is working, delivering food and gifts for people, and he's also selling some of his low-cost spirits under the table to other low-paid workers for their late-night private after-parties. It almost slips his mind that he was chosen as a ceremonial sacrifice to the forest spirits, until after he has finished dropping off 2 jugs of a special fireberry punch at the local noodle hut. Then he's ambushed by the festival goers. Many of his friends and family are included. Bound and blindfold, he's led to his fate with a laugh in his voice. It's fun to have fun, and he loves his hometown for giving him such an honor, even if it interferes with sales. That's it.
Nice.
Nice.
I feel like our characters might know each other.
We all know each other.
Good thing I took Tengu as a language.
Oh. And then last but not least.
It's a me, Mahogany. Alrighty then. So now I feel like I should say more than this.
No, what you got's fun.
Okay then.
Yeah, don't you dare take the shortest intro from me.
Oh, it's not going to be the shortest, but it's not the longest either. Anyway, okay. It's the night of the reenactment festival. A group of young adults is congregating near a bonfire, laughing and talking, eating and drinking. Among them is a short woman dressed in the traditional ceremonial wear of her ancestors. The well-kept hand-me-downs bear gold accents with intricate designs that match her jewelry and headwear. The razor-sharp fan and gilded lantern that hang from either side of her waist are similarly decorated and match the top of the kakara in her left hand. Its gold rings clink together as she gestures excitedly, almost hitting a young Tengu with her staff. Oh, sorry. I can't help but talk with my hands when it's a story this good. She's telling a story of a haunting she heard from a passing merchant just this week. She'd been holding on to it until tonight because the haunt in the story was unlike anything she had ever heard of, and the tale was bound to be a hit. The crowd around her was hanging on her every word as she reached the end of the story. And then, without any warning, it took his bones. The crowd erupted with that last revelation. There were gasps and exclamations of shock and disbelief. The young Tengu grabbed her free hand, pulling her towards another cluster of people. That is amazing. I've never heard anything like that, Nigella. You have to tell my cousin about this. She's just over here. Follow me. And so she did. Nigella Priyankara bounced from group to group, telling the merchant's tale of haunting and drinking in the stories of others. This was her favorite night of the year. For one night, the entire town was as interested in the spooky and supernatural as she was. Even the skeptics in town came out to celebrate and wish for a successful reenactment and a peaceful season of ghosts. She'd have an exciting story for her students when her kindergarten class was back in session. She told her students before classes adjourned, "The abduction is merely play-acting, and Cho Chun-Hu is supposed to provide a hearty ransom breakfast. Nevertheless, a thaumaturge must always be prepared to act against malicious spirits." She probably went a little overboard in her preparations for the festival, digging out her grandmother's ceremonial sari and jewelry, and spending an hour in the mirror making sure the intricate gold headpiece was centered atop her head. She had volunteered to be an abductee almost every year since the first time she had been selected, and her backpack was filled with everything an abductee might need for a long night in the forest. She spent the last few hours before the festival stashing her trinkets and bits of esoterica into the many folds, pockets, and loops of her sari, so she was prepared for any eventuality. As the time for abduction grew near, Nigella decided to up the theatrics a bit. She climbed up on a hay bale and cleared her throat for attention. "Hey, y'all. Good to see so many familiar faces around here tonight. Most of you already know me. Hey, hey. Oh my God, hey you. But for those of you who don't, allow me to introduce myself. Name's Nigella Priyankara. Now, I started my journey to know and subdue the supernatural many years ago. And in my time, I've heard tell of some spooky, spooky stuff. Did I ever tell y'all the one about the malicious spirit that haunted that mailbox a few towns over? No. Well, what happened was..." And she goes on and on and on until it's abduction time.
All right.
That's great. I love it.
At some point, you guys are all pre-kidnapped and taken to a place of honor. You're kind of forced to a giant dinner table where the last big feast for the last day of spring is held, so you can welcome in the grand old summer the next morning. And at these places of honor for the vast and last spring fest, you all find yourselves in good spirits, the best food, best drink, and it's a beautiful night with good company. But then, without much warning, 10 white-faced ghosts burst from the crowd. They charge you at the table, their paper mask rustling in the wind. The kidnapping has begun. As the ghost leads you out of town, those left behind begin to put on their show for the real ghost. Your family and friends mourn loudly. Warriors dash around town trying to find you. The children run to their homes screaming. Any haunt within 10 miles is sure to be fooled by this display and should turn its sights on other more happy communities. Once you enter the forest proper, the Miller Cho says, "Y'all did well." He's this year's organizer of the festival. And he says, "I'll be back in the morning with the ransom." He chuckles a little bit. You're not sure why that's funny, but it's funny to him. Maybe it's the drift of very strong wine and ale coming off of his breath. I hope you like coffee and biscuits as he leaves you to your night to sleep in the Spectre Wood.
Don't come too early. I'm a late sleeper.
Oh, I won't. You guys lay down. You're left with these red wraps and headbands to sleep in, just be comfortable. You have your gear. While this is a festival and mostly good spirits, the Spectre Wood can be dangerous at times. However, this close to town, you feel like you'll probably, most times people are okay, but it's better safe than sorry. So your gear was kind of already left out here for an overnight stay in case anything goes bad. But you fall asleep, drunk, full, and pretty happy. After the reenactment ends in town, most of the people end up in bars and homes to have late night parties, and then the town drunkenly, fat and full, goes to sleep. Your eyes open to a cloudy, light rain sky, a misty early morning. A mournful sound of grasshoppers drifts from nearby. Impossible to see through the tall weeds of the grove you find yourself. Spectrewood looms in the distance all around you as you all begin to sit up.
It's a beautiful morning.
You say so.
It's a morning.
We're awake, we're alive. What else could you ask for? Where's our breakfast?
We're heading back to town.
Nothing, because that's what you'll get.
I wake up and immediately start eating my rations.
Yeah, where's Cho? Where's our breakfast? Where's our look around, ransom?
As you guys look around for Cho, it is early morning. And it takes a moment through conversation for you to kind of realize this is not where you had fallen asleep for the night.
Wait, well, where are we?
I pop the cork gourd and have a bit of the hair of the raccoon dog that bit me.
In fact, as you're getting up and getting around and opening your containers, your sleeping bags seem extra dirty and tussled. Your gear kind of knocked around in its carrying cases. You're not entirely sure where you are, and you're also not entirely sure what that sound is.
Y'all hear rustling. That?
What kind of sound is it?
It's a rustling, like small bushes and grass being folded over quickly. Something is approaching you quickly from the tree line to the east.
Draw my weapon. Hey,
roll initiative.
Yeah. I grab my staff.
Oh my god.
Are we rolling?
Yeah.
The thingy, I forgot.
Do I get my weapon out? Do I have to spin an action?
We'll say that you got your weapon out.
Yeah.
Let me set up the...
What are you worried about your weapon? You bite everything.
No, that was the other guy. This guy actually uses a weapon.
Do I need to?
Oh, okay.
That jaw thing will only be effective like for the first two levels, and then it will be shit.
I gotta wait for him to set up the encounter.
Yeah.
I mean, for the pause.
Give me 1 second. Yeah.
This is also our first time using a dedicated VTT for anybody who's watched our show before. This is officially us using like technology. Exclusively.
Yeah, it's really cool, and thank you, Toker, for buying it with you.
It's you can buy the program for $50, and then the adventure paths are like $20 or something a piece. But they come preloaded with all the characters and all the PDFs, and it's just nice to be able to click and drag. And there's lots of mods you can find on Discord for like the dice you'll see us rolling, and a few other kind of quality of life improvements you can add in. But I'm just a big fan of, like, once you buy it, it's yours.
Yeah, fuck subscriptions.
Well, I can understand the reasoning behind some program subscriptions, because they do heavily update and all that, but and also, you ought to get a lot for free with that model.
It's morally okay to illegally download Adobe. Just saying. It's okay. You can do it. It's okay.
Oh, what was the thing? If if digitally buying something doesn't mean you own it, then digitally stealing it doesn't mean that you've
earned. Stole it. Yeah.
You didn't.
Yeah.
Digitally pirates downloading it, pirating it, you don't know. You didn't.
And there's a free alternative. Piracy's
not theft if purchasing's not ownership.
Yeah.
Still
there also, you go. Boom.
If I'm not actually using a cutlass, I don't consider it pirating, period.
Yeah, you have to have an eye patch or a.
Is it a cutlass or a cutlass supreme? Which one?
Well, that's when you put sour cream on the sword.
Yeah, you beat me to it.
Ooh.
That's a shitty magical weapon.
Every time I hear cutlass supreme, I will always forever think of the song by Tenacious D.
Harlow, did you roll initiative? You did not.
No, I was, you know.
Just
no, he's the sitting there staring off into space.
This is the easiest easiest way to do combat ever, and you just click the button.
The button.
Click the
we
button.
We want to see your fake
button, Matt.
3D die do its role.
Whoa, Maho, look at you go.
Yeah.
But bam.
Y'all suck. I hate all of you.
Yeah, well, I mean, you're not that much further behind than me.
Damn, I wish it had changed your name over here, but it didn't. I'll fix it later.
Yeah, so, I don't know how to fix it in there. That's why I said put your name on the other thing, too, just in case.
Nigella, looks like you're the first to react, and what you're reacting to, what burst out of the tree line to the east, are giant centipedes.
Oh, it's not my dad.
I don't know how to respond to that.
To the east.
Hold on one second.
East? I thought you said west.
I hate centipedes. They're always getting their little legs caught in my gullet.
Ooh, that's good eating.
As the centipedes burst from the side of the forest, you can actually hear them, which you shouldn't. Hear them talking.
What?
You hear them in a skittery, scratchy voice saying, meat, flesh, bones, finger, hair, skin, eyes, as they're rushing towards your party. And it's your go.
They only have the speech from fucking Dark Souls messages.
Alrighty then.
Oh, wait, begin encounter. Hold on.
Yeah, so if I do not have my just one second, please. One moment.
All right. Oh, look at that. Oh, yeah. Don't forget control, y'all. You can smeasure.
Smeasure?
You can smeasure things.
A little different than measuring. It's super measuring. Measuring. Tucker, I'm gonna need some boots of striding, like stat, just so you know, in case you're thinking
about. Yeah, they don't. Nobody. I looked. Nobody in the town knows how to make those.
Oh.
Okay. So I feel as if, I was just trying to see if it was an action. I feel like I can manipulate my implement as a swift or free action.
Those aren't things anymore. If it's manipulate, that's an action. I'm pretty sure.
No, that's the thing. It's like it's free action is the word that I'm looking for. Then I'm just looking for the thing.
Great movie. I saw it on DVD once.
Because I didn't get a chance to say that I grabbed my stuff before we start this encounter. I'm just trying to make sure. Do I need to use an action on this or not?
What are you trying to do?
I'm just trying to. I know I can light my lantern as a free action, but I'm just trying to see if there's a common torch. Da 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 da. When you hold your lantern,
yeah, you'll have to draw it though.
That's my point. Is I feel like there's a class feature that makes drawing it not cause an action. That's what I'm looking for to see if that's the thing. Mm. Okay, extinguisher light is a free action. Okay, switching them is free when I have a second implement. Interesting. Okay, so I'm just going to take an action to draw and light my lantern.
Okay.
And I'm also going to draw, oh no.
Where did it go? Oh, not the oh no.
Draw my fighting fan as well. And then do I see anything?
Do you, did I not make them visible on there?
I don't see anything.
No,
don't
oh,
see
anything. Sorry.
Aha.
I thought that I did. I made them visible in the initiative tracker, but I didn't make them visible on the board. Okay.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yes, there's the three centipedes.
Alrighty then.
Door.
And I would like to attempt to exploit vulnerability on the one to the north of me. Where are you at?
You want a closer look at it?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Oh. Oh.
It looks like
a, it looks like the ones from Wind Waker.
The centipede in.
And these are roughly person-sized centipedes. Mm.
I believe they're medium size.
So they extra big. Got it.
So I'm going to do an exploit vulnerability check. I thought I had targeted him. Boop.
Oh.
And I fail it, so I only get my personal antithesis against it until I try again. And that's my turn.
Okay. Harlow.
All right. I'm going a different direction. So, there. And it's an action. And then I'm going to use an action to draw my... Does it take two actions to draw two weapons? Or can I draw them with one action?
I think it's two actions, unless you have a feat or something.
Okay, well, I guess I'll just draw one sword. As soon as I figure out how to do that. I'll figure it out, but I'm going to draw a sword, and then I'm going to roll, actually.
Yeah, under your actions? That. Oh.
So, Toker says the GM rolls a hide check in secret and compares the results to perception DC of each creature. Since I'm hiding, I assume I'm in the bush there.
Okay.
Cover, and then I'm going to hide so that I'll have stealth against those creatures. This is, you're supposed to roll that in secret. And then my third action is drawing my short sword.
Let me make sure. I might, if I click this and it shows everybody. Then this is not, then that's not the roll. But I think I could just click it on your character sheet. I'm clicking stealth. And oh, there we go.
No, we didn't see shit.
I was making sure that it was going to give me a option to do it as a private roll. And it does. Okay.
This is a fine program.
It is a phenomenal program.
And Matt, I believe if you click on the public role in the chat section, you can, and I don't know why, but there is private GM role. I don't know if that signals to him or something because you're not the GM, but.
Tucker, whatever I got on that, like it's supposed to be a plus two bonus if I was in standard cover or four from greater cover. So it depends on what those bushes are providing me.
It's standard cover, but you feel pretty well hidden from the creatures.
Okay.
I think, what's the DC? Yeah, okay.
It's a result of their perception DC, which I think is just their flat.
It's 10 plus their modifier. 10
plus.
Yeah. Cool. Kevin.
All right, that's my go.
All right, well, the...
Not Kevin. Quinn.
Yes. I am...
Learning your character names.
Actually, I picked the name of a pretty well-remembered Magic the Gathering card for my character's name, so I wouldn't forget.
That doesn't help me at all. I remember it because it sounds like rhymes with your species.
Kinku, Riku. Yeah, I guess yeah. So.
Tengu, Riku.
Why,
Riku
the King. Why do you remember mine?
Frog.
Yay.
Yeah, Kevin, what are you doing?
I am going to go for nature, recall knowledge on these things.
Okay. That's me rolling again up, I think.
Yeah, it has a secret trait.
All right. And you're going nature?
Are you doing it on the one that's inside the light? Because I believe that gives you a bonus. Let me see. Where
sure.
Yeah.
They're all the same thing as far as I can tell. So I get the bonus from the light.
Plus one to perception checks, plus one to recall knowledge.
Thank you, ma'am.
It's
you're already awesome in my book.
No, I thought you were say, may I have another?
I believe that gives me a plus 8 to nature.
Okay, so these are definitely giant. It doesn't matter. I rolled really well for you. These are definitely giant centipedes. They are native to this area. While sometimes they can be aggressive, to see them being outnumbered and them still charging you is out of place. Secondly, they don't normally talk. Outside of that, they don't have any special immunities, weaknesses, or resistances. They have a climb speed. You do, however, know that the giant centipede has a poisonous bite. So if you get bit by these, there's a chance you can be inflicted with giant centipede venom.
All right.
It's called venom, but then they say it's a poison. And anybody out there in the world knows poisons are not venoms.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, there's technically a difference between something being venomous and something being poisonous.
If it bites you and you die, it's venomous. If you bite it and you die, it's poisonous. That's how you remember it.
There it is. I knew there was something of the two. All right. Is my shield on my person? Like,
yeah, you have all your stuff. It's not equipped, obviously.
All right. Well, then I will have to reach down and pick up my shield, is what you're saying?
Yes.
All right. Well, then I will do that and then raise shield. That's my three actions.
Okay.
Okay, scary monsters moving forward.
So the giant centipede runs straight towards Kevin with its first
action. I raised my shield.
The next closest person hid, and you can tell that the creature ran right past you, Matt, that I guess your stealth check worked out.
That works. That's nice.
Target Kevin. And it's going to try to bite Kevin.
Don't do that to Kevin. Come on.
I gotta. It's what they do.
It's what they do.
Uh-oh.
Oh.
It's a mystery dice.
What? Nobody knows. Yeah, it came up question mark.
Oh, did it not public roll it?
We got the result.
Yeah, it doesn't show up on the thing, but it's in the chat logs.
The die was question mark. The log is public, looks like it.
Oh, they didn't show you the natural one that I just rolled?
No, it did not.
Where's the fun? You know,
just lied.
I thought that I turned it on.
I mean, it says 7 was the...
Yeah, I see attack, finesse, 7.
Let me double check that I've turned on, because we're going to do crit cards.
Yes, we're doing crit cards. We're doing crit cards.
I would not roll the one. He's going to roll way more dice than we are.
All right, so he did a melee fumble. He is wide open. Or wait, we're doing... There's melee ranged unarmed spell. God, yeah, we're going to go with wide open. So he is off guard until the start of his next turn.
I look over towards where I saw the halfling duck into the bushes and give him the nod.
He's got a kicking sign on
him. Bug.
And he's still got one. He's still got one more action. So that was two. He moved. He attacked. Let's go with a second attack.
You wouldn't dare.
Oh, he would.
Oh, I would.
Actually, yeah, probably another one, but it's at minus five for the second, isn't it?
It's at minus five.
Yeah. He did not roll a natural one.
It had a question mark again on your physical die.
But he did roll. Rolled on the screen. Six.
Yeah, what I did roll was a six. So no crit fumble there. But so that's yay, monsters. Riku.
Looks like they gave up the ability to be accurate for speech. I think we win in this situation.
Hey, we can talk now.
Ah, shit, we can't hit the side of a fucking barn. At least I get to cathartically swear about it. I'm a centipede.
Are you plotting out your turn while making all these terrible jokes, Terrence?
I thought you were doing monster attacks. Don't talk to me.
It's your turn.
Oh, only one monster attacks? Okay.
Yeah, they all
have to be there. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm thinking they were on the fucking same. Well, let's see. Which one is the nearest? There he is. I'm going to move a bit so as not to get a colleague. And then I'm going to phase bolt this mother.
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 And hey. Ooh, very nice.
Let's roll damage.
Achoo. Oh, critical.
Oh, yeah?
Was it a critical? Is that your critical roll?
Oh no, I'm sorry. Was that critical?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You beat the AC by
Is that the thumbs up or the thumbs down thing?
Well, no, it's not a natural 20.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So you then I'll just go ahead.
Well, he can just easily take double by clicking.
There you go.
That.
Wait, I just what?
You killed yourself.
How did I do that?
Because you targeted you.
Took the damage.
No, how do you undo that?
There should be buttons that says undo.
You can figure out how to make
the
critical damage.
Yeah, you don't click on the damage, Toker will.
Anyway, just give him 16 damage.
That's fine.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you had the option to make it critical when you rolled the damage.
Oh, okay. Immediately kills them. Nice.
Yeah, he is dead.
Oh, hold on. Be gone, foul spirit.
There we go. Get into it. It's the next centipede goes.
Parents is the early bird.
I caught the worm, baby.
He double moves.
Tickle me.
Oh, I'm about to catch the worm again.
Terrence, do you have a weapon?
I have a staff.
Perfect.
And I didn't have an action to cast glass shield either. Fuck. Miss.
Oh, no. You're hit. You're not critically hit. But you are hit. I need you to give me a fortitude save.
Alrighty. Whoop. Oh, hey, I do.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. So nice. You negated its venom.
My alcohol tolerance saves me again.
But you still take 2 damage. Bip.
If anyone rolls a 20, does it do that sparkle thing, or is that something you did on your dice?
Mine's special. Really like mine.
Yeah, Frog.
It's my turn. All right. Hey, quick question. Did I have enough time to put on my armor? 5 minutes? Yay, nay?
No.
Okay, well, let me go to my handy character sheet and get nude.
Good to know. Oh, God. Take 5. Tell the bugs.
I made them all draw their weapons. I'm going to make you fight naked.
That's fine. It only drops my AC by 3.
Yeah. That's not a lot in this game.
We're going to do here to here. And then I'm going to double right click the target. I accidentally hit my character sheet. Not Quinn Song. And then I'm going to attack this thing. He's off guard.
Yeah, the thing I like about this is if you're flanking it, it automatically puts him off guard.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the math, yeah, turns out right. So yeah, you hit him.
Nice. Damage. 8 damage. And then I'm going to attack him one more time.
Okay. No.
No?
Your first one killed it.
Oh, really?
Yep. Just to peek behind the curtain, it has exactly 8 hit points.
Oh, I didn't. I saved you. I say you're welcome in Tengu to the Tengu.
Mm-hmm.
I had it handled.
And then...
Motherfucker bit me.
We'll move to here. And that's my goes.
Why are you talking like the guy from
Working on a Voices or something for the goblins?
The guy from
Jeb Ankleshank, right? That's who he is? Gabagool, I'm a goblin.
Gabagool?
I come from the tribe of mind.
The last, as far as you know, centipede runs up to
Nigella.
Double moves to get to her. Targets her. And will attempt to bite her. This is where I'll get my crit. I'm going to roll this in secret.
Oh, he's using the crit button. He's using the crit button.
The crit button?
I typed in 20. It runs up. And again, it's just repeating. It's naming off parts of you it wants to eat.
Ew. Those are mine, spooky centipede man.
Wait, which parts look most tasty?
Missed by 6. Damn.
And that is the end of the first round. We now go back to the top where it is Nigella's go.
Alright.
Let's go.
I believe Nigella would like to attempt. Okay, yeah. So I'm gonna attempt to demoralize.
Oh.
This guy first. And I succeed. So the giant centipede is frightened 1. which take a spell penalty equal to this value to all your checks and DCs, unless specified at the end of your turn.
I can just drag and drop. Bip. Yeah. One.
So I did that to him.
How did you do it?
I basically, I hold my lantern in his face, and I say, "Your darkness cannot defeat this light," and he's demoralized by it. And then I attack him.
Okay.
And I strike at him with the fan and see what happens.
Maybe.
Hit him.
Right. And I hit. It takes 4 damage. And then I'm going to strike again.
He took 6 damage. Why did he take 6 damage?
Oh, yeah, because he is the target of my personal... I have a personal antithesis against him. So he basically has a 2 weakness against anything that I do.
Nice.
I attack him again, and I miss this time.
Yeah, you do. Get out of here. Centipede for life.
That's my turn.
All right. Harlow, hidden in the bushes.
All right. I think everybody's got this well in hand. I might just stay here. Nah, I'm just kidding.
Classic Matt.
Gotcha. I stay hidden.
Blank him and murder him.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go up here behind it, and even though I'm already hidden, I'm going to whack it.
Come on, Matt. Roll like you normally do.
That's rude.
That is really rude, isn't it?
And wrong. Hey. Booyah.
Critical. Wow.
That thing's fucking dead.
All right, now try not to kill yourself like I did.
Don't explode them all over me.
Damn.
You exploded all over her.
Damn it, I said don't do that.
Oh, there's so much blood or guts or goo, or whatever these things are.
Has anyone watched the new Roadhouse?
Nope.
No.
No, there's a stab finisher move that is what Matt just did.
You know what's not in that movie? Patrick Swayze.
Right.
Or throat rips.
I have zero desire to watch either the old or the new.
Roadhouse.
The only reason you should watch the original Roadhouse, aside from Patrick Swayze being just Patrick Swayze, is that then you can then watch Squidbillies, where Patrick Swayze shows up, but it's not actually Patrick Swayze, but he keeps telling them stories from Roadhouse as if he were Patrick Swayze, and they all believe that he's Patrick Swayze.
I love that show.
You know what happened when I went out and I saw 4 flat tires on that car? I didn't sweat it. I just pulled out the new ones from the trunk. New!
The massive damage immediately kills them.
Combat is over.
All right.
I thought there's one more.
No, there were 3. You've killed all 3 of them.
I'd like to take a look at these monsters.
Oh, I see it now. It's hard to see. It's too. It's really bright.
What kind of creatures are they?
I will go ahead and extinguish my lantern for the moment.
Like, yeah, I want to figure out how to turn the brightness on that down because it's glaring.
It's something like something made it bright light.
Well, we'll figure it out later.
Yeah.
I would like to start putting on my armor.
Okay, so Chef Frog starts to get his armor together as the wizard goes up to investigate.
Looking around, and Harley's like, "What the hell is going on?"
I'm not sure, really. Let's see.
Where are we?
I have survival. Can I roll that? Try and figure out where I am?
You can actually roll survival or Willow Shore lore.
Oh, well, I got a higher Willow Shore lore, let's do that one.
I took that.
Willow Shore Lore.
I'm going the way of survival.
Willow Shore Lore.
So yeah, Terrence, your Willow Shore Lore is definitely enough now that you've the grogginess of waking up and being immediately assaulted by giant centipedes who can strangely talk in this strange mist.
Who needs tea for that?
Yeah. You are, you're on, anyone who succeeds realizes that instead we've woken up at a clearing east of Willow Shore, and that a nearby game trail, it's a popular game trail, should lead you back towards town.
All right. I mentioned that, like, town's back this way. I'm not sure where we are. Let's get our stuff and head back. They're probably worried about us, though I'm still not sure how we got here.
Before we go, I would like to take my weapon and slice off a nice chunk of these things, stick it in my bag.
Well, actually, yeah, let's take at least one of their like heads back with us, just so we can prove that we did indeed fight monsters out here.
Oh yeah,
valuable on these things.
I was just grabbing lunch, but that's a way better idea.
Well, you know.
There's nothing necessarily value for the giant centipedes. Chef Frog has used these before in his culinary cuisines at his food wagon. They're a typical creature around here, like I said, but normally they shy away when outnumbered. They definitely don't talk, but there's nothing physically different about them. Other than the fact that they were speaking.
Can I make any rolls to figure out what's happened? Were they possessed, maybe? Should I roll occultism or arcane knowledge?
Yeah, as soon as it stops freezing on me.
Funny.
I'm going to take my sword and cut off a couple of their mandibles just to
get
back to my siblings, if nothing else.
I'll definitely be examining them as well, looking for anything.
While they're examining the scorpions, I'm going to look for centipedes. I want to look for any signs that we were dragged in by our bedrolls or a group of people that would have been able to carry all five of us. I want to look for any type of signs for that, if possible.
Okay. You could give me Terrence, because you asked first. You could give me occultism or religion if you're wanting to know something on the spiritual side of what's going on with why they're talking.
And I will do the one I'm trained in. Coming to me, I don't think.
Yeah, a lot of this is supposed to be rolled. Like, I was listening to some people play this. A lot of the knowledge checks and stuff are supposed to be rolled on my end so that I can sneak in false information if you roll terrible. But then I realized that would mean the only time you guys roll dice would be in a
combat. Rolls.
Yeah. So I'm going to... I'll roll on my end, but for these general checks, if anybody else wants to roll occultism or religion that has it.
I'll see if I can.
I'll keep my lantern lit so you can get that extra plus one.
Did you say religion?
Or occultism, but it looks like Harlow got it. Harlow, you Riku is kind of going over it and muttering to himself like why they should be able to talk. It dawns on you, Harlow, that the animals might be influenced or possessed by some sort of evil spirit. Maybe it wasn't the actual centipedes that were talking, but some possessed spirit speaking through them.
Let the group know that, just that might be a possibility. So would we know any particular religions where that's common, or is it something that's supposed to happen during the...
I mean, it's a lot of that's a big part of the superstition in Willow Shore. That's why you have that list of rules.
I thought the ceremony was baloney.
No, the eight practices exist for a reason, y'all.
Well, So what are those practices again? I can't seem to...
Y'all don't remember the eight practices? Okay, hold on, hold on. Number one, do not call a ghost a ghost.
Well, I mean, everybody knows that.
Everybody knows that. Number two, do not pat people on the head or shoulders. Looking at you, goblin.
That's rude anyway.
Avoid entering bodies of water when there's a ghost nearby. Don't eat food that has two stick-like objects protruding from it. What? Don't lean against walls during the day. Don't whistle at night. Don't leave laundry out at night. And if you hear someone call your name from behind you at night, don't turn around.
No. I tap my beak. I'm pretty safe on the whistling.
Yeah, seems like a load of baloney.
Look, you say that, but I heard about this guy a couple towns over, and he was whistling at night. They didn't see him ever again.
Ghosts ain't real. It's probably one of these centipedes.
Huh. Well, let's get back to town. Like I said, they'll probably be worried about us if we don't go. Soon.
Really? I'm hungry, too.
I'm all for getting the hell out of here. This is,
pack my shit.
I bargained for.
Yeah, I pack my shit, I take another nip, and I begin to hike. Let's go.
Knowing the way, yeah, you follow the game trail back towards town, heading west. As you travel west, the weather starts to grow stranger. The mist that's normally cleared out by midday does not. It's rolling through the trees. There's a full-fledged fog getting thicker and thicker by the moment as you get closer to town. But up ahead, not long, maybe 10 minutes, you see the side of the Duyuyu River. And the bridge that would get you back into Willow Shore.
Oh, yeah, we're almost there.
Aren't they usually waiting by the time we get back to town? I've never done this before.
Usually happens is they come and they bring us a delicious breakfast of like all of your favorites. And then we do a march back into town proclaiming our victory. But I guess those of you that sleep in don't ever hear that because it happens real early.
Never been sober this long on the festival nights to wake up this early.
Well, I'm not going to be denied. I grab a pair of sticks and start clocking together. We've returned victorious! We've defeated the spirits!
You still got a little bit of walk before you get back to town. You still have to cross the river, and then you'll have to get to, there's a little lookout tower. But as you guys are getting closer, I need each of you to give me a Willow Shore lore or society check.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Society.
Yeah.
I'm 99% sure I have a zero in society.
I think I got zero.
Solid eight.
Three.
Hey.
Not bad.
No, I got an 18 out there.
Flat check, baby.
So,
who's got it?
Maybe, Riku and,
Nigella.
Hold on, I was lagging, so my roll should be coming. There we go. 12. Woo!
So, Riku and Nigella.
Damn it!
As you guys cross over the bridge, maybe just because you're a school teacher, this would hit you first, Nigella, is a poem. You're reminded of when this fog starts to get thicker and thicker. It's Lazy Adu took a break and did not light the lamp that day. This provided to be a big mistake for, then the ghost came out to play. Hazy mist and moon of blood, all because he just gave up. It's the lantern poem. And it starts to kind of go through your head, and then as you're kind of muttering it, saying it out loud, it dawns on Riku that maybe the fog is here because the eternal lantern might not have been lit this morning.
What do I know about the eternal lantern? Other than that it exists, I guess.
Other than it exists.
And it's eternal. And a lantern. It's like playing two truths and a lie.
And this is, I'm leaving my lantern unlit because it's so bright on here, but it's actually lit in the real game world because it's still misty. And also for the plus ones to our check-ins about things that might be
here. Is it misty and also overcast, or is it like that bright kind of mist that you get sometimes?
It's starting to overcast.
Hmm.
Like normally this would clear up around once the sunlight starts to touch down, this would normally clear up, but it's not.
No, this is a very inauspicious mist.
I don't like the way this PDF is laid out, if we're gonna be honest.
Heaven has sent a mist to help us. Ah, stupid godforsaken mist.
It's like, hey, if they get this right, then they should know about the Eternal Lantern. Cool, give me a button that takes me to the Eternal Lantern, because I can't remember all the details, and I don't want to spoil something.
Don't you spoil it.
Don't you do it.
Don't you dare. Are you looking for it
in the player's guide?
No.
Can you search in it?
Okay.
It says it's on page 18.
Well, that's not what he's looking for, though.
Actually, it might be in the... a better description of the player's guide, huh?
I can tell you what it says.
Yeah, go for it.
This minor artifact is an immobile object gifted to the town of Willowshore by the founder of the Tansugi Monastery. For the town's entire history, the Eternal Lantern has stood sentinel near the near the settlement's heart, its light never wavering after Zuhi placed a few copper coins within it. Some believe that it's possible to receive blessings from the deities whose shrines stand in Willowshore by placing copper coins within the Eternal Lantern in exchange for additional protection. But for the most part, the people of Willowshore have become used to the ever-burning lantern at the southern steps of Dawnstep Bridge. So it's just like it's always lit.
And it's an ever-burning torch with a little razzle-dazzle on it.
Yeah.
And a copper collection scheme.
And are we coming up on it?
We're coming up on it, but it's not lit.
No.
And normally it would burn these mists away. Right?
Yeah.
Isn't that someone the joker?
It's never not been lit. Like, in our lifetimes.
Well, let's throw in some copper and get it going again.
It doesn't burn copper. People place copper coins there in exchange for additional protection.
Well, can we get it relit? That's the question.
I light my lantern. It's a mystical way of lighting it, so I don't really have a lighter handy. Anybody got a matches or something?
I got a flint and steel.
Oh, well, that's...
Yeah, I was going to say, I can start it if... Let's go check it out.
Let's go have a look.
Something to look at.
And then, we'll start a mundane fire and see if that works for now first, and then
go from there. I'm not sure if the lantern you're looking at is the eternal one. I can't remember where
it's in the way. You said it's in the middle of town.
The Dawnstep Bridge it is.
Yeah, the southern steps of the Dawnstep Bridge, which is like what we just crossed over.
No, right? you're crossing the... let's go to let's activate this map.
Ooh, activate. Different map.
All right.
Map activate.
It's the town. Y'all can all see the town, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Where's so you guys are all
it's
the way on the
still
west.
Loading.
Oh man, we got it. I got it loaded. That dotted line up there at the far north west of the map, is that where we are?
No, you're all the way on the east. Let me get my zoom all the way out, and I'll ping.
I see the ping. Somebody.
Yeah. So you guys are here. That's the bridge you're about to cross.
But this is not the bridge you're talking about.
No, the next spot's gonna be you're coming across the spider gate, which is what would keep kind of the lookout tower and stuff is.
So
mark on the road from the west.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wait, coming from the east.
Yes.
The Douya River.
going west, that square block on the trail is the
watchtower. Looks like, right?
Yeah.
And where did it say
this one is a regular lantern, unlike the eternal lantern?
It says the lantern, the eternal lantern is at the steps of the... Hold on.
Sorry. It's that long bridge in the middle of town.
The Dawn Step. Dawn the Step southern bridge. Steps of the Dawn Step Bridge, which is which one?
It's really close to Harlow's house.
Mm.
Yeah. It's like it's near. So that one has the lantern. The other one has the lantern if it's the spider gate, but it's just a regular lantern. But if it's not lit, then it indicates that the town is abandoned.
So we want to go here.
Maybe, if it's not lit. That might explain why this fog is so persistent and thick.
Well, yeah. Let's go check it out.
Let's make it back to town.
My house.
The mist is not lifted by then, and we are just being... We're just being superstitious.
Yeah, I'm going home.
And we can just feel silly and have some ale afterwards.
So as you guys come off the bridge and are remembering about the eternal lantern and pondering on maybe this is why the fog's not going away, the lanterns might not be lit. We don't see that glow coming from town that would be hard to see from this distance anyway, but definitely you feel like something's missing.
Mm.
And with that thought of the feeling of missing, the fog begins to part ways. You get to the spider gate, and something there seems to be missing as well. Here,
it's the spiders.
A stone statue of a guardian spider once stood in a shrine next to the road. But now the spider statue is missing, with only an empty shrine left behind. This is Willow Shore's eastern entrance lantern. The statue of the spider once held in its fangs a lantern. You can see the lantern laying on the ground empty.
I don't like this at all. Move up and investigate the broken lantern.
Is it broken or is it just discarded?
It's not broken, but the way it's laying, all the oil has seeped out of it. It's not on. The stone statue of the spider is gone.
Was the statue integrated into the shrine? Was it part of the shrine, or was it a statue like separate? Like, could it be moved if necessary?
Give me a Willow Shore lore check or something else that might be appropriate.
Hey, yeah, that skill became super important. Aren't you glad you took it?
Oh, shut up. Yeah, it's fine.
Could also do a society check. They seem to be hand in hand so far, but
Willow Shore lore, like, you know, I guess it works because I always ask super specific questions, but
yeah. The stone spider, somewhat affectionately known by the locals as Ugly Cute, is the size of a horse and made of solid stone, which makes it unlikely that someone simply made off with it. You don't see any signs of chiseling or damage to the rock on which it once perched upon. With that roll, I could also tell you... in the past, there was a slaughter caused by the attempt to harvest Shang-Chi's. Willow Shore's governor caved to the demand for a new lantern for the entrance of the village. While the original plan was for the carpenters of Willow Shore to build a Tory gate or Zhang Shui gateway on which lanterns could be hung, a Lung Hua aristocrat offered a free stone guardian spider from his garden instead, since it no longer fit in with his garden's decorations. Most Willow Shorers thought the giant statue was the ugliest thing they'd ever seen when it arrived. Nevertheless,
but it's kind of cute.
They assumed the statue housed a guardian spirit and respected it accordingly. In time, villagers accepted their unique entrance guardian, even calling it their ugly but cute mascot. Over time, it became just Ugly Cute for short.
I relay this story to those who do not know it, and then I say, but what could have made off with it? Do I see any, like, wheel ruts or...
Give me a survival.
I want to say, with no marks, which you said before there...
I said there was no sign of chiseling or damage to the
right. I instantly, my mind thinks that it came, someone brought it to life, and my hackles are raised. I think this thing with the, I have a feeling deep down.
You're making assumptions without proof.
I don't need proof. I have a feeling, and that's all I need.
You can give me a survival check to back up those feelings.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting to.
Oh, he's just buying time.
Stone statues don't just get up and walk away.
I mean, not normally.
Hundreds and hundreds of pounds.
I figure something as insulted as that thing had been over the years would have walked away a long time ago.
I don't know, y'all. Possibly, you can clearly see those hackles, and they are raised.
He rolled the same thing I did.
Yeah.
Can anyone I give else? A shot?
Yeah, anyone with a survival?
Not a one.
Here we go. Big money.
I don't have it trained.
Check this out.
Hey, there it is.
With your minus one wisdom.
Can you not roll untrained? Survival?
Survival? Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, he can roll anything untrained, I think. It's just
anything you
awful.
Can use untrained, but when you are trained, you gain specialization.
Well, we're not going to glean anything from here unless somebody miraculously comes out of the left field and, oh, okay, here they are.
Harlo.
Yeah, untrained.
While he's listening to everybody kind of fetter around and the horror story that Quinn is describing causes Harlo to look in one particular spot. And you see a track. And that track kind of confirms what Quinn's been saying. It looks as though...
I hate to be right.
The eight legs of the ugly cute. You can see little dimples in the ground. They kind of match its span and where it would have gone off into the woods.
I hate to be right, but told you so.
I kicked dirt over the track.
No one believes me.
Anybody. I'm not going off chicks in the freaking spot. I'll tell them. I was like,
off to the woods. Well, that's not our problem.
Yeah. So we need to go report this to the guard and get our breakfast.
Yeah.
I will pick up the lantern and put it in its shrine, and I guess I'll light it for however much fuel it's got left, and then we can move on.
It's completely dry. Does anybody else have any way to light it?
I mean, I have oil.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we all... Oh, no, I don't.
Why are I bought it.
Oil?
Because he's a cook. For cooking.
He wants to fry
he's
something.
He's a cook.
It is. Yeah, it's cooking oil.
It's fry daddy.
Wait, this is sesame oil.
No, you don't want that one. Hold on. Put that one back.
Oh, also, hey, this one's avocado oil.
No, I got three. There we go. So we'll delete this. Yes. So delete one oil. We now have that thing filled with oil.
Okay.
All right. We'll relight the oil.
You hang it. Yeah. Sorry. You fill it up. You light the lantern and place it where Ugly Cute was. Okay. And the fog doesn't disperse. It's thin a little around you, and you all feel a sense, kind of a warmth for just the briefest instant. But you think nothing more of it and make your way on towards town again.
Yeah, that giant spider statue, that's a problem for someone else.
You sure we don't want to?
Nope. All right. Absolutely not.
No.
Yeah, clearing the fog would make hunting a spider slightly more in our favor, so let's continue on to the Eternal Torch.
So about 20 minutes or so later, you've gone about a mile. You're getting really close to the Eastern Watchtower. And that's when the tang of blood fills the air.
Ah.
Four bodies lay in the road in front of you, sprawled on the ground. Two appear to belong to town guards, their legs swollen and expressions of pain frozen on their faces. The other two bodies appear to be tiny, blue-gray humanoids with sharp teeth and giant ears, seemingly slain by sword blows.
Do I know what these are?
With a nature check, you can.
Then I don't know what these are. What are these?
Hold on. I am not too sure. I think it might be. I don't know.
Oh, with 15, we'll actually get it. So, the Mahogany, you know that these are Jenkin gremlins.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Jenkin gremlins.
You don't know a whole lot about them, but you know that they're a type of gremlin.
That's pretty much what I say, is I don't know a whole lot about them, but I'm pretty sure they're a type of gremlin.
It's weird that I just watched Gremlins 2 before we started playing this game.
Nice.
And can I look at the bodies and see that these gremlins are the things that killed the guards?
Give me a medicine check.
It's ready for that ask, and
I'm observing.
Yes, you observe well. as you start to examine the guards, it doesn't look like they perished from any mortal wounds. But there's a strange odor coming from their legs. You roll up the leather armor on one side, and you can see what appears to be two puncture wounds. Being from in this area, snake bites can be pretty common, and it looks as though these guys were bitten by snakes, and maybe it was the poison from those snakes that killed them ultimately, not the gremlins.
Oh, good. I was afraid they're going to be giant spider bites.
Yeah, snakes or spiders is my specific question.
Well, I basically make sure I get my weapon prepared. I'm like, we need to report this as soon as we can. This is horrible.
Indeed, weapons out.
Yeah.
Do the guards or the little gremlins have anything good on them, equipment-wise?
The gremlins have some rusty old daggers. The guards have plain leather armor, a regular shield and sword.
They also have common Pokemon cards. They got ripped off of
bent up land magic cards.
Oh yeah, they're the worst.
God, nerds. Just
a pocket full of force cards.
Do we recognize them?
Yeah, you might.
Well, I know this guy buys booze from me on the regular. Well, he did. Oh dear.
And that's old man Tuck.
Yeah, let's beat feet to the town. We need to
get this is.
Yes, we must hurry.
Actually,
but I'm still gonna take a moment and just like if they have a cloak or something, cover the bodies.
Okay. Oh yes, good idea.
Yeah, I will say a prayer to Dehatsu.
Nah, I don't think my god wants a prayer over these guys.
You see,
I'll say a easy come, easy go.
For the townsfolk. Town guards?
For the guards?
Yeah. Hmm?
They got two.
Yeah, my gods hate pain.
So, you guys hate what?
Mahogany, as you decide you want to cover these guys up with cloaks, you can see a discarded cloak or two over in the grass. As you go over there and pick the cloak up to cover their bodies up, there's a moment of fright.
Careful of snakes.
There are two snakes under the cloaks, but they're both dead.
What is going on here?
Wow. Can I see what killed them? Like cut in half or something?
Yeah, they look like they were stabbed and butchered.
Do I know them to be venomous?
They are venomous vipers. A local venomous viper.
Do the gremlins look like they were killed by the guards?
Yes.
Okay.
Can you eat these snakes?
No.
Probably the back end of them.
Actually, you can eat venomous snakes. It's just not smart to. I've done it.
I'll do it anyway.
Yeah.
I'll eat one of the snakes.
What, raw snake sushi? Disgusting.
Especially basically the equivalent of roadkill.
Listen, I am an iron gut goblin. I get benefits to eating shit, so I'm doing it.
Okay, well, there you go.
Eat away then.
Don't make us watch you chew shit.
Seriously, stay down.
Sneak off and do that. Don't.
See, here's what's really cool about this. I get a +2 circumstance bonus to saving throws against afflictions, against gaining sick and conditioned from eating things.
You still have to roll that dice, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's fun.
Yeah, no, it's fun.
It gives me another reason to roll dice.
And
anyway, while you're eating snakes and some of you are paying last rites to the two guards, who you may or may not know personally.
I'm keeping an eye out on the river. Nobody's out. Like it's despite the fog, it's still plenty. Or it's still plenty late enough in the day for the fishermen to be out, right?
You would think so. Yeah.
And do we see any? Nobody.
No.
Yeah, everybody, freaking eyes head on the swivel.
All right, then let's go to town. Let's find out what's going on.
It's around the bend, not far from where all this occurred. It's as soon as you round this bend, you can see the tower, the guard tower here that protects the city from whatever it needs protecting from normally. And at the top of the tower, you hear a young woman's voice.
Ho there! The last eight practices are all open fire. The last four of the eight practices, excuse me.
And I'll rattle them off. Must I actually?
That'd be nice.
Four of the eight
practices.
Yeah, she knows it. That's her whole gig is telling everyone the old tales.
Hold on. Do not lean against walls during the day. Do not whistle at night. Do not leave laundry out at night. And if you hear someone call your name from behind at night, for the love of everything good, do not turn around.
This is some creepypasta territory.
Be super paranoid.
As you holler out the last four practices of the eight, you can see up top, even from this distance, you can hear the crossbow she's holding kind of pinging off the wood, clacking on stone, and she's at the top of the tower. You see it kind of slow down, and you see her put the crossbow down and just start breathing heavy. She goes, "Oh dear God, I thought you might be more of those monsters."
No, we're the party from that we're sent in the woods as the ceremonial sacrifice. It's Riku Kamaro, and I tell whoever else's name is.
Oh gods, yes. Oh, I saw them as they took you out to the woods. So you perished.
No, ma'am.
We can't see.
We were attacked, but we bested them in combat.
We can't see through.
What happened here?
What happened here was awful. Screams, not like the reenactment screams, but real screams of terror. Little horrible blue monsters came out of the woods. Tim and Jahiri went to confront them, and I heard their battle. I heard them die, I think. Did you see them?
We found their bodies, yes.
Sadly, they are gone.
They were poisoned to death by snakes.
This fog will clear. May we come up?
Oh, she came down.
Oh, okay, sorry.
I met you on the road.
Who is this? Somebody we know?
Yeah. What is her name?
Does she have her own weapons and whatnot? She are.
Her name's Hahirha.
Okay.
I
tell her to watch her feet. Like, apparently snakes are about and they're not to be taken lightly.
Yes, we'll stick to the road, stay out of the high grass.
She's a guard dressed in scale mail with a crossbow. She has a club hanging from one hip, a small sap from the other, a dagger in her back pocket, a whistle hanging from around her neck.
Didn't you find me for selling unlicensed booze? Never mind, it doesn't matter. Yes, we should probably get to indoors. Like, something is more than what you think is definitely going on. Your unfortunately deceased friends are out on the road, and we are trying to rush back to see what we can find and who we can find in a charge. I turn toward the group. Should we tell her about the spider statue?
Yeah.
The spider statue is gone.
The ugly, cute spider statue is missing. Its lantern left discarded. We relit it before we came. May we pass?
You may pass. Sure. The spider statue is gone.
Apparently, it has come to life.
All the more reason for me to stay here. And keep guard with this fog. There might be more of those gremlins. A stone spider on the loose, though.
We need to retreat to the a more central location.
Also,
collect all our weapons and hopefully be able to defend those who can't defend themselves.
Also, I'm growing very worried for my family. Can we? Well, let's beat feet.
Yeah, let's.
She reaches out
with us.
She reaches out and grabs you, Riku. She goes, "Family, indeed. You should go home, check on your friends and family, make sure everyone is all right. That's what I'd do if not for this goddamn fog. For Phrasma, bless us. I hope my daughter is okay. Even though I asked Granny Hugh to babysit, I worry. And my husband, hopefully he's safe at the Mizuki Estate right now. That place is nearly a fortress.
Well, with this fog, you can do nothing for them here. So go check on your family.
Give me a diplomacy check.
I'll roll.
Could she be convinced with Arcana? Actually,
I don't think she should leave.
I
agreed.
Hey, I did as much as I could. I made my point. I feel she should go. I really do try to say she should go check on her family and meet us back at the town hall.
Okay.
I assume that there's a town hall for some central. We need to gather everyone we find at the town center.
Some of her nerves seem to calm a little bit, and you kind of sense her... her code come into play? No. My family should be safe. But it's others here that I've been hired and taken an oath to protect. You should be on your
way. Very well. Shut up, Kevin.
Let me finish. I will stay here for a while. If anything happens, I'll ring the bell to warn you all. If things have gotten around me and things aren't good in the town, I have some supplies I'd be willing to give to you. So she is going to provide the party with two minor magical supplies from the watchtower that might be of use to them.
Oh,
nice. Okay. And we promise we'll check on your family and have somebody from the town guard come out here and assist you relieve you so you can come in and see what's going on. But right now it's really important to keep this town guard. Keep the guard.
Keeping the town safe is my responsibility. Yes. Thank you. Send me help as soon as you can. And if you happen to see my husband or daughter, let them know I love them.
Very well. But again, stay high. Keep an eye.
Will do. She reaches, she walks back into the tower. She comes back out with a couple of things and passes them on to you. One is a feather token. Each feather token appears to be a simple feather from some exotic bird. The feather's shaft, dipped in gold, bears a single arcane rune. Activating a feather token causes it to transform into another object, which then can be used as a normal for that object. Each feather can be activated only once, with most of them permanently becoming the item in their description. What she's handed you is a ladder feather token, just in case you need to reach places that you can't normally reach. When activated, this feather token transforms permanently into a 20-foot long wooden ladder.
I'll take it and tuck it into my hair.
Oh, hey, okay.
Do any of y'all have a crossbow?
I do not.
Nope, I got a halfling sling.
I'm not even sure I'm proficient with it, honestly. It's a simple
It's a basic weapon, a simple weapon, so everyone should be proficient with it. Did I buy one? I should have. No.
I have shurikens instead of a crossbow.
Well, I basically am a crossbow within a certain distance, so I don't need it.
Is it a magic crossbow?
Yeah, well, this is it's a magical bolt. It's a shining crossbow bolt she has available to give to you, but I don't see where anyone here would be of use of this, maybe just as a lucky charm then, and she passes it off to one of you, but it's a shining crossbow bolt. Shining ammunition gives off a faint glow. When shot, it sheds bright light in a 20-foot radius and dim light to the next 20 feet for 10 minutes. If it hits a target, it sticks, causing the target to shed light in the same radius. Creature can remove the ammunition with an interact action, but the ammunition itself continues to glow for the rest of the duration or until destroyed.
Ooh, I'll take it.
Okay.
Well, I need to get you a crossbow at some point. Actually, never mind. I'm not doubling back to a couple of dead men to steal their crossbows.
Loot the bodies, loot the bodies.
Yes.
I was trying to be respectful of locals. Of the local
dead. Weird.
I am not respectful of the locals.
Well, then that means you took a crossbow. You said, I want their goods.
I didn't hear them say they had crossbows.
I didn't say that. Did you get I dragged it over to you. Did you get the crossbow bolt?
Gold piece. Yep, got it.
Okay, and who wants the ladder feather token?
Mahogany did.
Ow. And Jella took it.
Are we going to fight over every feather token? Because I really like feather tokens.
I gave it to Mahogany.
I mean, it's just a ladder. It's not like it can be anything. It's just a ladder, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm short. Need a ladder. Maybe I need to reach something.
Let's see. Was there anything else she had to give? She is staying behind.
Does the small armory here have a crossbow that a frog could take?
Well, no, we're not taking her crossbow.
Am I taking her crossbow? Her crossbow. I'm asking if their armory has it.
Yeah, I'll say that there's a crossbow there if somebody wants it.
Hey, Gabagool, I'll take the crossbow.
There we go.
So buy yourself a free crossbow. There's also a small cast of lantern oil that she might have offered to give to you if you hadn't already relit the lantern.
Mm.
Oh, replace your oil there, frog.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
Frog's making out like a bandit.
Stuff.
I don't know that lantern on the edge of the town now smells like delicious sesame oil. So
yeah, that's just expensive.
I get the hint of a little bit of avocado oil in there as well.
Give it up with the avocado oil, hipster. We want fucking authentic fucking cuisine.
But now, knowing that that something is definitely amiss, that there are monsters on the loose, the giant stone spider has apparently walked off on its own. You make your way back into town with a little trepidation. How are your family and friends? How's the rest of the town? What's this strange fog? And what does it all mean? We'll find it all out next time. Well, we're not going to find it all out next time. This is the fucking first episode. Who knows? I want to take to figure all this shit
we'll
out.
We'll find out everything in one more session and game over.
Yeah, well, this will be a two-session run. All four.
The whole adventure day. Path. Just two sessions.
We made it to chapter 9 on this PDF out of 24. So
that's not bad.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. I feel like skip a lot somehow?
No. Would you like to know what you missed?
No.
I kind of do. Tell us off camera. All right.
You could have convinced her to go with you. That's really the only thing. I thought so,
but I couldn't. Like, I don't have any like skills for that effect.
I have very good diplomacy, but I didn't think that it was a good idea.
Leaving her behind is a valid reason to keep guard. Leaving her there may be better than bringing her with you. But if he had rolled better on diplomacy, she would have been like, you know, fuck guarding this. I have a daughter at home. So I just like that there's the... All the options are displayed here.
Honestly, I'm happy I failed. I'm not supposed to be super diplomatic. I'm an old hermit. And I was like, hey, you know, you should come along with us.
I would have got it.
Why would you waste such a role?
I'm a little upset because then I would have gotten to play as a human guard. or whatever.
Oh, did you want to?
Combats that might.
Are we gonna? Are we going to just like collect NPCs for you?
Yeah,
that'd be fun.
We'll be a party of 20.
17 voices that you have to remember.
They're all my voice. Or I'll do a voice for them, and then the next week it'll be
completely forget what voice you did.
Just do like that Frakes' shitty Australian accent for everybody.
Rise of Blights.
Oh god, what were we watching? Let's banter at the end. We were watching Killing It, and there's an Australian girl, and they were like, can you do an American accent? And she goes, hot dogs. And I was like, oh, they do it for us too. Like, we say rice.
It goes both ways.
And they go, hot dogs. Hot
dog. Get a hot dog.
Anyway, thanks for joining us, everybody. We'll catch you next time.
Okay, bye.
Bye, everyone.